Rescued by Love. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1895. It was growing very dark, and it was difficult for the two people climbing up the mountain to see ahead clearly. "I cannot imagine why you are taking me here," the girl kept saying. The man merely replied, "Come on, hurry. I want you to get to the top." They climbed further in silence. Then, with a sigh of relief, she realized that she had reached the top of that particular mountain, although there were others nearby that were higher still. Their tips, covered with snow, reached towards the stars. She sunk down, almost exhausted, and sighed. "I cannot imagine, Ivor, why you have brought me here at this time of night. I will be very tired tomorrow." "I want you to look down, below you," Ivor replied. She wondered what he was talking about, but because she was feeling breathless, she was not prepared to argue with him. She looked below to where she could just see the outline of their big house and the extensive garden beyond it. It looked to her, as it always had done, an isolated building on flat land that slipped down for several miles before it reached the sea. Then, to her surprise, she could see lights at what she knew was the entrance to the drive, which was bordered almost in English fashion with trees on either side of it. Now she could see lights moving between them. "Look," she exclaimed in astonishment, "there are lights going up the drive. Who can it be? And why are they going to the house at this time of night?"
"That is what I brought you up here to see," her brother answered.
"But surely we should be there to receive them," the girl questioned. "You know that Papa cannot do so, and there will only be the servants in the house."
"I think if they are wise, the servants will already have left," her brother commented.
"What are you talking about?" the girl, whose name was Vina, asked. "I just don't understand, Ivor."
"You will understand very shortly," was the reply, "when they set fire to the house."
Vina gave a little scream. "Set fire to the house? What on earth can you be talking about?"
"I have brought you here not only to save you," he answered her, "but to convince you that after tonight we will have no home, as it will be burnt to the ground."
"But Papa," she began, "Papa will burn too."
"He will know nothing. I gave him a pill before I left that will make him unconscious for 24 hours. By that time he will be buried in his own house, which I actually believe he would prefer to being buried anywhere else."
His sister was staring at him incredulously, as if she thought it impossible to understand what he was saying. Because Ivor knew just what she was feeling, he rose and moved closer to her.
"Now listen, Vina," he said. "I have not worried you with this before, but I have known for some time that things were becoming increasingly uncomfortable for us in the neighbourhood."
He paused for a moment before he continued.
"They hate Papa as they hate all those who are in a position of authority and privilege."
"I don't understand what you're saying," Vina wailed.
"Well, to put it very bluntly," Ivor told her, "we are going to have a revolution all over Russia. Not all at once, but slowly, until eventually it disposes of the Tsar and all those who toady to him."
"I think you must be mad," Vina gasped. "How can that possibly happen in a country as huge as Russia?"
"There have been revolutions happening all over," Ivor replied. "And because I realize that our people feel the same, I have recently been seeing a girl whose family is one of them, so to speak. Because she was so intimate with me, she told me the full truth."
"That they intend to kill our beloved Papa," Vina said incredulously. "I just don't believe it."
"You are now going to see it happen. And because I did not want you to be distressed or to do anything foolish like pleading with these people, which would have been useless, I have brought you here."
"I cannot believe you..."